Take your Bibles now, book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We'll read verses 3 through verse 13 this evening responsively, right after the book of Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 3 this evening. We'll read all the way through verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 3, the Bible says, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we have behaved among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who called you unto his kingdom and glory." And let's finish on verse number 13 together. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again, Lord, for this time we get to be here in church, Lord, gathered around your word. Lord, many of us this week have spent time reading your word, looking and hungering, Lord, to learn more about you and to draw closer to you. Lord, we're not relying on this service alone for our walk with you, but it sure would be wonderful this evening, Lord, if you would reveal yourself to us through the preaching of your word by your man of God. Lord, I'd ask that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches this evening, but may we make sure that our minds are focused on the truth, our hearts are tender, and that we're yielded to that Holy Spirit as we listen. Please speak to our hearts, show us something tonight that we can use not only in our lives, but to help others. We'll ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to challenge you tonight. I'm not sure how it's going to come out. I don't know how fiery it will be. I don't plan the emotion that goes with this. That's God's doing while I'm up here. But I want to challenge you tonight. I kind of want to just talk to you for a bit. When Brother Heil said that meant look out, duck, it's coming. But I'm not sure that that's kind of where we're headed tonight. But I've got to do a little encouraging and challenging at the same time. God did everything for us to get saved. All man has to do is trust what God did for us and accept it as the way to heaven. He came. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He shed his blood at Calvary. He died. He was buried. He resurrected and conquered death 3 days and 3 nights later. God did all of this so that we could be saved. That was the whole purpose. God loved man more than all the other things that were created. Now think about that. Anything that was created in heaven and earth, God loved man most. He did not do salvation or getting saved for the angels that followed Lucifer. So God loves man more than the angels. Think through that. Man now has heaven available to us, and it's never available to any other creation. I hate to disappoint you. Your dog and your cat aren't going to be there. Cats are going to go into Hades anyway. But, no, I'm teasing. but your dog's not going to be there. Your cat's not going to be there. An animal does not have a spirit. Heaven is a spiritual place. Now, there will be horses there, but those were created that live there eternally. They're not going to be your horse that you knew from 1920, all right? It's not going to be there. It's not going to be reincarnated or brought back to life there. You say, well, I believe so. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The animal does not have a spirit. Now, God loved us so much, though, he loved us more than any other creation. Nevertheless, man still sinned. Man has to accept the gift of salvation in order to get it. Just because you are born as a human does not give you eternal life. You have to be born again of the Spirit to get eternal life. You say, how do we do that? You accept what God did for you to take you there. It's that simple. It's available to every person. But only those who accept salvation are the ones who go to heaven. Now, all that Jesus did for us to get us saved and how he did it was called the gospel. When we talk about the gospel, it's what Jesus did for us to get saved. Being born of a virgin, living a sinless life, dying at Calvary, shedding his blood, conquering death, and putting his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, that all encompasses the gospel. Many of your Bibles, probably all of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will say the gospel according to Matthew. No, it's the gospel according to God. It's not Matthew's gospel. It's not Mark's gospel, Luke's gospel, or John's gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news of salvation. Not according to man, but according to God.
Right.
Now, all that Jesus did for us for salvation is called the gospel. Now, man only has to obey the gospel to be saved. It's that simple. We are to accept it by faith and not by what we do. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, after a person gets saved, God places a responsibility on the saved. When a person gets saved, God places a responsibility on them. God says to us who have been saved that since he did all that was needed for us to be saved, that he was going to put on us the responsibility of getting the gospel to our fellow man. Getting the gospel out doesn't save us. It saves our fellow man. And God said, I did everything needed for man to get saved. Now, after you're saved, it's your responsibility to tell somebody else how to get saved. I don't think that's God asking too much of us, do you? I think God has a right to ask us to live a certain way and to do certain things. Brother Josh grew up in our home, and he's heard this speech more times than he can probably quote it as I'm saying it. I would say, son, because of who your parents are and what our position is, there are certain things you're not going to do. Remember that speech? Your last name is Bush. You represent us, and I'm a pastor or assistant pastor, and therefore there are some things we're not going to do, though others may do it. Like it or lump it, you're going to live up to what your name is while you live under my roof. That's just the way it was. I got that speech when I was a kid. Now, my dad wasn't the pastor, the assistant pastor, but he said, your last name's Bush, and Bushes don't do certain things, and Bushes do certain things. And if you're going to keep that name, or if you're going to live long enough to keep that name, you're going to do it. Yes, sir. one of those things was you're going to learn to work hard. Man, my dad, he was rough. I got my first job, but he goes to where my job was and told the boss, if it didn't work, fire me. Second job, same thing. Everywhere I went, stay away from my boss, Dad. Just stay away from him, all right? Now, God placed on us, after we get saved, he places on us the responsibility to get the gospel out on us. Now, God actually says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse number 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Ooh. God says he puts us in trust with the word of God and the gospel to get it out, and it's our job to speak it throughout the world. Since God did everything to make getting saved available to man, he does all we need to do to get us saved. Is it too much of him to ask us to tell our fellow man what the gospel is? Is it too much of God to not only trust us with the responsibility, but also to tell us exactly how to do it? Notice he didn't leave it up to us of how we were going to tell everybody. That's why I hate this modern Christianity where, well, we'll just do it our way. We're in the modern generation, Pastor. I'm glad you're in the modern generation. I'm for getting the gospel out, but it doesn't replace doing it God's way. Facebook doesn't replace face-to-face. Social media doesn't replace soul winning. Say, how do you know that? Look at verse number 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, in other words, because we love you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You've heard the term soul winning. You love somebody enough that you'll tell them the gospel. Not put it on social media and say, I did my job. I'm not against you putting it on social media, but your responsibility does not end there. I put the gospel in that little booklet that we just put out, but guess what? That's not the end of our responsibility. Now, God not only puts the responsibility on us, he told us exactly how he wants us to do it. You say, why? Because he knows we sinful people wouldn't do it the way it's supposed to be done. Let's look at what God has to say about getting the gospel out to our fellow man. You ready? Number one, we who are saved have a responsibility to get the gospel out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the what? Gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That's the gospel, by the way. Acts 1:8. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. And it's our job to take the gospel, be his witness of the gospel throughout the whole world. Now, listen to this very carefully. God chose to place the responsibility on us to get the gospel out to our fellow man. He did everything else. He said, go ye. Not just go me, go ye. He didn't say that the preacher shall be witnesses unto me. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If it doesn't get out, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. I get a little sick and tired of people saying, well, how about these people in Africa that nobody's there to take the gospel to them? Are they going to die and go to hell? Yes, because it's your job to get it to them. Quit blaming God, blame yourself. Blame your fellow Christians who won't get off their blessed assurance and tell anybody about Jesus. Why is it God's fault? He made it all available. It's man's fault for not getting it out. wasn't going to get mad, but it's starting to work up. Amen? So, we who are saved have a responsibility to get the gospel out. Folks, I realize there are people here physically. You can't go door to door to door to door. I get it. But there's still things you can do. Bless Miss Wally's heart. She can't get out and walk and go door to door. But every one of those gospel tracts that's in that basket out there and a bag full more, she's doing them by the case, putting them together with rubber bands. And every one of those goes out, she's got a part in it. Everywhere she goes, we'll go out to eat, and it's a battle to see if she pulls her track out first or my wife or I do, you know. It's quick draw. Coming out everywhere. Say why? Because she's doing what she can with her physical limitations. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But we're still supposed to get the gospel out. I hear her talking to people on the phone. She's talking about church, talking about God. She's telling folks how to get saved. It's great. See, it's our job to get the gospel out to our fellow man. Quit blaming God that it doesn't happen. Well, all these people in the world that don't have a witness. Well, if you're worried about it, then how about you surrender your life and go? Everybody doing okay? I realize I can't go to every country. But I promise you one thing. I've done as much as I can to send as many people around the world as I can. We're sending missionaries out. The Baxters. We've got the Jacksons. We've got Dr. Caudill with Macedonia World Baptist Missions, and we're printing almost 1 million tracts every year, putting them in missionaries' hands to get the gospel out all around the world. Hey, that's what God said to do. I can't go to every country. By the way, James and Abby Baxter are just about ready to leave for their country here real soon. He's gotten some housing lined up and different things. He's been over there for about 2 weeks, and they're getting ready to blow this place and go over there and be full-time. It's taken him just under 2 years to raise his deputation, and the Jacksons took several months off with their baby being sick and one dying, and they're at about 50 or 60% already. Thank God for it. They're going to get out of here quick, too. I told you they're go-getters. They're our kind of people. They're not sitting around doing nothing. Say, what is that? Let's get the gospel out around the world. The newest country in the world is going to get a gospel-preaching missionary that's going to preach the stuffings out of everybody over there and see a whole bunch of people saved. Mrs. Lopez, just last week, last weekend, a man that I knew, a missionary down in Mexico, Robert Murillo. When I preached down in Mexico, Robert was my interpreter because this gringo don't speak Spanish good enough, all right? Taco, baño, and a few other things. And, you know, you got to know where the comida is and where to get rid of the comida. Two important words, amen? Sí, gloria a Dios. I could not preach in Spanish. Robert was my interpreter. Robert has been there. He has seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people saved while he was there. 62, 63 years old, died just suddenly about a week ago. They just buried him yesterday. I knew Robert. I knew his wife. I knew his family. I know the story and just some unbelievable things, how God's used him. Can I tell you something? Robert's gone. Who's going to take his place? I'm not saying that you ought to surrender your life and sell everything you have and go to the mission field, but I think we ought to do our part and help people wherever they're at, whatever they need, to get the gospel out. Number two, we're to get the gospel out to please God, not man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse number 4 again. I want you to notice something here. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. We're supposed to please God by getting the gospel out, not please people. You listen to some of the voicemails that come on the phone and get some of the phone calls after y'all go soul winning that I get. I remember during COVID, we didn't stop soul winning. Say why? Because people were dying and they needed the gospel. Didn't bother me. I had one lady, some cranky woman over in Shepherdstown. She called me. She said, I can't believe you. She left a voicemail. I almost saved it just for posterity's sake. But I figured I'd get too mad and get in the flesh. She said, I can't believe you. You're endangering lives. You're supposed to be saving lives, and you're killing people by people going door to door and leaving infected things everywhere. And I thought, lady, you're more concerned about somebody's bodily health than you are their eternity and people dying and going to hell. Don't you tell me I'm endangering somebody. We're all dying. God says we pass from death to life, not from life to life. What you call life is a process of death. You don't start living till eternity if you're saved. And if you're lost, you keep dying for eternity. She was more worried about somebody getting sick than somebody going to hell. That bothers me. I'm more worried about their eternity now than ever. There's fewer people doing it. During COVID, again, Shepherdstown, a pastor emailed me and said, I think I even read it in here. He was so happy that somebody went to his neighborhood and told people about Jesus and about the gospel, these people that he loved most. Not enough to where he's going to get off his duff and do any of it, but he's glad we did it. Well, bless God, any pastor can come into my neighborhood, and guess what? They already know that I'm the pastor. Say, why? We've knocked every door. I knocked every door in that complex before I moved in. We've knocked every door since I've been there, and we've blitzed it a couple other times with flyers. Guess what? I'm not ashamed of who I am, are you? And that's my neighbors. Matter of fact, a bunch of them got saved at a funeral I did. You see, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Man, there's so many verses I want to use, and I got to hurry tonight. I'm not going to keep you late. I promise. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. I'm breaking in a new preaching Bible here, and its pages are sticking. Galatians chapter 1, look at verse number 9. As we said before, so say now I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. God said if somebody's preaching a gospel that is not according to the Bible, God says let them be accursed. Don't get mad at me when I call their name. God said they ought to be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, I'm not going to read any farther. You could read several more verses there. Can I tell you something? Soul winning is going to offend people from time to time. A few years ago, we were knocking doors, and somebody knocked on a door, and this lady got a little upset. She called the church. Well, my wife happened to be in that neighborhood. I think she may have been the one that knocked on her door. Don't know. But the next week, they forgot where they were, and guess whose door they knocked on the second week? Yeah, thou art my battle axe. Oh, she called fuming. Well, about 3 weeks later, somebody else knocked on the same door that wasn't even going out at a regular soul winning time, just happened to be in the neighborhood knocking on doors. The cork didn't just pop, it blew pretty hard. And she was threatening lawsuits and everything else. And I said, you know, I'm going to get a little proactive here. And my wife said, well, should we take a gift and drop it by? I said, no, not going to work. I said, what'd you do? I went to the Martinsburg Police Department. And I filled out a report about this lady being a little cranky. I explained to the officer exactly what was going on, what happened. He said, is this lady demon-possessed or what? He said, why would she get mad at a church knocking on her door? I said, you'd have to go ask her that, but I'm not going with you. He started laughing. He said, probably pretty smart, Reverend. I said, yeah. I said, I just wanted on record that I came to you first and that this is what's happened. In case she does get a little cranky, at least y'all know what's going on. He said, well, if I were you, I'd send some more people on that street next week. I looked at him, I said, I said, "Officer, please don't egg me on because I'm that kind of man." He said, "Oh, I already know that. You've been there three times." Now, wait a minute. Those things are going to happen, all right? It's not frequent. And say, well, this neighborhood said, "I can't knock doors." Guess what? You can. You're not soliciting. Soliciting is asking for money in response to something you give. We are giving something away. We're not asking for money. I was in a neighborhood one time, and they called the police on our folks. And I happened to be in the neighborhood, and the officer pulled up. And he said, "Reverend," he said, "what y'all doing?" I said, "We're going door to door, giving folks one of these pieces of paper." And I handed it and stuck it right in his face in the squad car. Said, "We're giving these to folks, inviting them to church. And if they don't have a church, we're inviting them to church. And we're giving them the gospel if they're not sure they're going to heaven when they die." I said, "I'm not collecting money. I'm not soliciting." He said, "I figured that's what it was." He said, "Have a good day." He said, "I had to come out here." He said, "They called." I said, "I'm sure they did." And I said, "Is this the address?" He said, "How'd you know?" I said, "Oh, I could tell. I've done this enough." I said, "Officer, can you answer me a question?" He said, "Sure." I said, "These kids that are selling candy for their school." I said, "Is that soliciting?" He said, "By the law, yep, they're the ones that ought to be kicked out, not you." He said, "You've been at this a while, haven't you?" I said, "A long time." I said, "I don't want the kids kicked out either. I'm not against it. But what I'm saying is this, the church has just as much or more right than a kid selling a candy bar to go door to door. Just so you know." You say, "Well, I had somebody threaten to call the police." My dad had that happen, but a couple years ago. The guy says, my dad looked at him and said, "You want their phone number? You want to use my phone or you want me to call them?" Didn't go over real well. But anyway, you know, God didn't leave it up to us sinful men how to do it. He said, "You're not supposed to please man, you're supposed to please God." It's not a matter of us being culturally accepted. God said, "Do you seek to please man or do you seek to please God?" I don't know about you, but I want us to please God.
Amen.
If I please God, we'll please enough people, they'll get saved.
Right.
You're going to get cranky people, but guess what? There's saved cranky people too. If you went to the book of Acts chapter 7, don't turn there now, verses 51 through 60, remember the story of Stephen? He got up and preached the gospel. They picked up stones and they threw stones at him till they killed him. For what? Preaching the gospel. They literally stoned him to death for preaching the gospel. He wasn't a preacher, he was a deacon. Man, he was just out soul winning, got a little wound up, got people aggravated, and he said, "Too bad for you, man. Here it comes," and he let her fly. Yeah. People are not always going to like being confronted with the gospel, but God likes it. It doesn't matter if people like it, God does. Well, that's confrontational evangelism. You can call it whatever you want. God calls it getting the gospel out. I believe in getting in people's grill face to face, hitting them with the gospel, let them make a decision. You don't have to be mean and nasty about it. Have you ever heard me preach? I preach the gospel pretty clear, pretty plain. There's people that hear my preaching and walk out those doors lost. I don't force them. And I'll give them every opportunity I can, but I can't force anybody to get saved. If they walk out, my hands are clean. I've given them the gospel. Everybody doing all right? God doesn't leave it to us and leave it to culture to decide how to get the gospel out. He entrusts us with the message, but he also entrusted us with his method. I hear preachers say, "Well, the Bible is a good book of message, but it doesn't. The methods aren't important." Oh yeah. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is a witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." He said, look, we didn't use flowery words. We didn't use pretty clothes. We didn't wrap everybody up and say, oh, look at me, you want what I have? Lifestyle evangelism, so to speak. You live like such a Christian that people will run up to you and say, what must I do to be saved? How come they don't take their offerings that way? How come those are the churches that recently somebody told me about a church in the area that if you don't pay your tithes like they think you should, they put your name on a television screen in the auditorium until you get your tithe caught up. It'll be a cold day in where the booger man goes before I did that. There are churches in our area that when you join their church, you have to give them your routing number to your bank account and they'll automatically withdraw your tithe. Uh-uh, not happening. This isn't a money-making business here. This is, you obey God, and it's between you and God, not between you and me. Everybody doing okay? That's like your Joel Osteens. They use flattering words. They want to build a name for themselves. Brother Scott nailed it. He didn't know I was preaching this tonight. But he was talking to somebody recently. He said, go look at the house where your preacher lives and what car he drives, and I'll tell you what he's after. You got these churches, these people are living in $2, $3, $4, $5 million homes and have umpteen million cars and everything else. Look, folks, you can drive by my house anytime you want. I live in a very modest home. 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's not a mansion. It's plenty new and nice for my wife and I. It's all we need. We'll die there, hopefully not soon. Miss Wally laughed at me for saying this the other day. It's easier for you to move your membership than me to move my furniture. I'm not going anywhere, all right? It's not happening. But I drive a 2001 Ford F-150 with 155,555 miles, amen? Josh driving it the other day, he said, boy, Dad, that's a lot of fives. Well, my other truck's still running. My daughter and son-in-law have it, and it's over 265,000 miles. Amen. And it's still running. Old Fords never died. They just run faster. Amen. Can I tell you something? I'm not here to drive a big old fancy car, and I'm good with it if you do. But I'm not doing it. Say why? I don't live that way. I'd rather put the money back into reaching people. Not about my bank account. Everybody doing okay? So, God says not only do we have the responsibility, we're not to get the gospel out to please man, we're to get the gospel out to please God. Number three, what's God's method to get the gospel out? Well, 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says we're supposed to tell our friends. To be put in trust with the gospel, even so speak we, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. We're supposed to please God with it by telling our friends. Mark 16:15 says we're supposed to preach it. That's at church. That's on the street corner. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I've preached in bus stations. I've preached at bus stops. I've preached on L trains. I've preached in bars. I've preached in churches. I've preached in outdoor meetings. I've preached in little villages in Mexico, in little four-walled, no-ceiling little buildings. You'd be surprised where I've preached the gospel. Funeral homes, gravesides for funerals. Shoot, I'll preach at the drop of the hat, and I'll give you the hat and throw the hat down. Amen? It doesn't matter to me where I preach. But may I say something? We're all supposed to get the gospel out. We are to get the gospel out. So we're to speak it to our friends. We're to preach it. Number three, Matthew 28:18-20 says we're supposed to personally tell people, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That wasn't just to the pastor. That wasn't just to the staff. That was to you personally. God wrote that to you, not just to me. Everybody doing okay? Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47 talks about daily they went house to house. Sound like something we do around here called soul winning, doesn't it? Now, soul winning is more than just house to house. That's any time you get the gospel out, you're soul winning. I get that. But we'll never stop going house to house. In 8.5 years, not quite 9 years, we've knocked on and passed out, knocked on doors and passed out almost 200,000 tracts. And Martinsburg's 18,000 people. Berkeley County's 54,000 people, and Jefferson County's about 28,000 people. We've done a heap of door knocking. Everybody doing okay? We haven't sat on our blessed assurance doing nothing. But guess what? There's still a lot of people who need to get saved. A lot of people moving into this area. I love it. I love it. I love it. No matter how you look at it, it's our job to get the gospel out. Hey, in our neighborhoods, have you ever given a gospel tract and invited your neighbors to church? Thank God the Myerses did. Brother Jim came, got saved, because Mrs. Meyer and Brother Meyer cared about Jim. John and Minuet got saved recently, or he did. She's already been saved. They've been coming, started my Sunday school class day. They said, "Preacher, we got folks in our neighborhood that are coming to church this morning." They came. Moved right down here in these brand new townhomes. Man, I love it. Brother John Stansberry brought several co-workers with him. Say, what is that? That's soul winning. Many of you have brought visitors. But I'm talking about, have you told your neighbors? I've told one of my neighbors, and she lives right next door to me, and she doesn't like me. right, Marcia? I'm talking about leaving tracks at the stores where you go, the restaurants where you go. Hey, the gas station. Lady sat right down there today because somebody left a track at the BB gas station. Hey, that ought to tell you, get your tracks out and pass them out. Amen? Leave them everywhere. Somebody left a gospel track. By the way, she's been churched. She knew what it was. She called it a track, not a flyer. She told me after church, she grew up in a Baptist church. She'd been saved a long time. She was so excited to find a church that went soul winning. She knew what the term meant. She gave the term. I was like, hoorah, I like you. That's exciting to me. It ought to excite you that your tracts that you pass out, they don't fall on deaf eyes all the time. I know that's kind of a contradictory statement there, but you knew what I was going with. Let me ask you a question. Have you told your family? Your family. Many of you have lost family. Have you told them? And then there's missions. I think we ought to give to missions. Now, I'm not going to get so wound up. I know churches that give more to missions than they do to take care of their own people. According to Scripture, 25% of what we do is to the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. We'll build missions. But can I tell you something? We're going to support missionaries that go soul winning, get people saved on a regular basis. You can feed hungry bellies and let them die and go to hell with a full belly. I'm not against feeding hungry bellies, but I'm against feeding hungry bellies and not giving the gospel. Let's get the gospel out. You can take all the medical missionaries you want and give shots and make people well, but healthy people will die and go to hell. Let's get the gospel out to them. Huh. I guess if Jesus and God gave us everything needed to get saved, they gave us the gospel, Jesus paid for it with his own blood, I guess he has a right to instruct us how he wants us to get it out. It's not our job to decide how to get it out. It's our job to obey and get it out to our fellow man. Well, preacher, what happens if I don't? People will die and go to hell. We ought to tell everybody. Let's not be afraid of offending people. It will offend people. He told us it would offend people. You're not there to win friends and influence people. You're there to get the gospel out. How about we get more concerned about pleasing God than pleasing man? I was at a funeral. I was doing a funeral. I had to share it with a chaplain. My wife was with me. I was up in Maryland doing this funeral and had to share it. And this chaplain was at best an idiot. I said, "Are you going to give the gospel?" He said, "Well, yeah, I'll give it, but I'm not going to pressure anybody." I said, "That's all they need to find out." I wanted to be ethical. He got up and cursed and swore. He used language at a funeral that I was embarrassed to have my wife here. I'm not kidding. It was horrendous. People are gasping, going, family's going. It was my turn to get up. I had led the man that died to Christ. I got up and told the story how he got saved. Some of his family members I won to Christ. Talked about how they got saved. I think we had 32 people say, raise their hand for salvation. One of which was the president of the trucking company that both of these guys drove for. The other guy would have let him die and go to hell and been satisfied that he had pleased God. He didn't want to offend anybody. Well, his language offended me and offended a lot of others. Found out later, this guy's sister lived in California or somewhere out of state, and they had her on FaceTime. Found out later, she got saved watching the funeral on a computer screen because she was 9 months pregnant and couldn't leave. That's called getting the gospel out to every creature, isn't it? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? And we're not to please man, we're to please God with what we do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God did everything for us to get saved. He made the gospel available to everybody, but he put the responsibility of getting the gospel out on us. How about we step up as Christians and get the gospel out?